Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is David Nagel. I'd like to welcome you to the Successful Mind Podcast. I have a real treat for you all today. Today, my special guest is Kim Anami, and she's here to infuse more passion into your life and your bed. She's a holistic sex and relationship coach, a writer, and a speaker. Now, her work is a spiritual synthesis of over two decades of Tantra, Taoism, Osho, transpersonal psychology, philosophy, and a host of quantum growth accelerating practices that she uses to propel clients into higher stratospheres of connection, intimacy, energy, and creativity. Her musings on life and love have graced Playboy, Oprah Magazine, Marie Claire, Shape, the Sunday Times UK, the Daily Mail, GQ, and national talk shows from E! Network to CNN and NPR. She divides her time between Bali and Los Angeles and hosts of beaches in between, where she not only lives and surfs, but lifts objects with her vagina. Kim, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, we can't let that go unsaid. What is lifting objects with your vagina?
Well, part of what I teach is genital strengthening and activation and awareness. So most people in our modern day sexually bipolar culture, bipolar meaning sex is everywhere, but you're not really allowed to have it and enjoy it, have a disconnect with their sexual energy and with their genitals. And so part of what I teach is getting back in touch with these areas and then on a physical level to actually strengthen them. And so the practice for women is using a jade yoni egg, any kind of yoni egg, inside of the vagina to create strength. And when I began, part of my work, as much as I'm a teacher and a healer, I'm a creative. And so I'm always thinking of interesting, creative ways to get my concepts across and out there in the world. And so I came up with this idea back in 2015 to do a series of photographs that were hashtagged Things I Lift With My Vagina that featured me traveling around the world, lifting objects with my vagina that were indigenous to these various regions. So in Bali, I was lifting green coconuts and papayas and mangoes. I went to Venice, Italy, and I was lifting chandeliers. I went to Berlin and I lifted a piece of the Berlin Wall at the Great Wall of Vagina. So I've had a lot of fun doing this and it garnered a lot of attention globally. Obviously, it's a very intriguing idea, but it's also speaking to a very deep need where people have this disconnection that's just crying out to be healed and for people to get back in touch with this part of themselves.
Well, I can tell you, like I was telling you off air before we came on, that I have been recommending you to my clients, especially female clients, but some male, for a couple of years now. And the ones that have taken your courses have come back to me with astounding results in their sex life, and their sexual health, in their performance, in their intimate connection with their partners. I mean, it's been like A+, A+, A+ across the board.
That's so wonderful to hear.
It really is. It really is. And I'll tell you, like, personally for me, why that is, why I'm a real fan of your work. First of all, I'll tell everybody, I did the male version of her course, which was for you guys out there, you need to do it. Like, men are really sexually undereducated, and you did a wonderful job of teaching in that. I learned things that I did not know. I learned things both from a sexual perspective and a health perspective and an intimacy perspective that have enriched my own life. So I highly recommend it. And where I was going with that was that I have met a lot of sex coaches and sex therapists over my 20-year career. And I have not met anybody that has the results that I've seen you get. And I don't even know you. Like, this is the first time you and I are meeting. But I was really, really impressed with what you taught and the way that it transferred through and the effect that it had on these individuals' lives. So I really wanted to share you with my audience. I thought it was very important. You walk your walk, you walk your talk, the stuff that you're teaching, it all has a practical, fundamental application to it. And I got to tell you, I was really surprised to hear this, but in a good way, not like in a bad or a weird way. I listened to one of your podcasts a couple of weeks ago, the one on the, you did on monogamy. And I was actually surprised to hear that you were pro-monogamy.
Right.
So my question is, why? Why? Because, and so maybe I ought to reference this better, position this question better. Most of the people that I have come across in your field are not necessarily pro-monogamy. Not that they're against it, but they're more pro-polyamory, more sexual exploration, more sexual freedom, and they kind of view monogamy as something that ties someone down. But you're in the podcast that I listened to, you were really talking about the fear of intimacy and all of those other sexual applications and how monogamy brings about more intimacy in a relationship and allows you to go, you were talking about going deeper into the intimacy. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So my view of monogamy is that most people don't have it. Most people think they have it and they actually don't. And so I call my interpretation of monogamy conscious monogamy, or what I try to coach people and teach people to cultivate in their relationships, conscious monogamy. So my definition of that is when you bring all of your emotional and sexual resources to the table. So that means that you're open, you're honest, you're vulnerable. A lot of people fall into relationships where they hide themselves, they don't tell the truth, they tell white lies, they withhold sexually, or they rationalize, oh, sex isn't an important part of a marriage. Like, we only have sex every couple of months. Like, things like that. To me, that's not monogamy. That's the shell of a relationship. And quite frankly, that's a lie. And so what most people think they have is, oh, technically not having sex with other people as being monogamy. To me, that's not even monogamy. Like, that's just a shell, as I said, of a relationship. And so what I'm talking about is truly showing up, truly being open and honest and surrendering in this deep, powerful, profound way to your partner, both on an emotional level and a sexual level. And then you hit this superpower when you combine all of that together into what I call gourmet sex versus, say, junk food sex, which is more superficial. You're holding parts of yourself back. In a gourmet sex situation, you're bringing all of these ingredients into the table, your heart, your body, your mind, your psyche, your spirit, everything is there and available to your partner. So you're very, very open. And when you live in this state, you access this superpower where you create more energy, more confidence, more magnetism, and you fuel your entire life with the power of this relationship. And so that's what I say is that, look, 99.9% of what I see out there, I would agree, monogamy doesn't work, meaning the version of monogamy that people have isn't working. But what I'm talking about, as you said, is a deep dive, really using the power of that intimate connection in a deliberate way. And when we have that, that's better than every other possible angle, as far as I'm concerned.
Kim, why don't we have this as a society? Like, it's really disturbing, because when you think about, or when you've experienced even a fraction of what you're talking about, which I feel that I have, it's a real special thing between two people. And it seems like it's a natural thing. Like we're born in some way to have that connection. Well, I know we're born to connect with other people. We're born to love and to touch and to feel that intimacy between two people. But why is it that we don't have that as a society? Why is that not the norm?
There's so much conditioning and blockages imposed upon people's natural, free sexual expression. And I use the term natural born lovers. And there's been a whole movement, you've probably heard about it, the natural barefoot running movement, right? And yeah, there was a book that came out a number of years ago, Born to Run by Christopher McDougall, who talked about how he went through running throughout the world, like cultures who run, like these warriors in Kenya who like run, like miles and miles and miles across the plains, and this particular tribe in Mexico, and they all run barefoot, right? They all run barefoot. And so there's this argument out here in modern day world that people get all these injuries from running. It wrecks your knees. Running's not very good for you. But what actually wrecks your body is running shoes. There's never been a single study to show that running shoes improve performance or have any kind of benefit. On the contrary, all of that adjustment on top of the natural form of the person is what causes the injury and the impediment. And so I thought this was such a great parallel to sexuality, is that in our free form, I always use this expression, everyone everywhere can, meaning all of the sexual things that you've ever heard about that you might think, oh, just some women are capable of multiple orgasms, or just some men can make love for 6 hours a night. No. My guarantee is every single person can. What is blocking the expression, though, of that, or is whatever these things are that have been superimposed upon us. So people have religious taboos that are superimposed upon them. Many, many people have sexual trauma because we live in such a suppressed society that people's sexual energy comes out in all of these untoward ways, where if it just had free expression to be there as a natural, innate, healthy part of human existence, I don't think we would have so many problems and misdirected sexual energy in our culture. So, you know, to sum all that up, my view is that we are innately, naturally healthy, sexually expressive. That is a part of us. We have to do this to procreate our species, right? So this is an essential part of being human. And if we're not connected to that energy, we're often operating in a massive deficiency. But it's all of these other blockages that are suppressing and obscuring that beautiful energy within us. And when my work is all about removing those blockages, finding out what they are, removing them so that the person can get back in touch with that energy that is divinely theirs.
What do you say to the experts that are out there, like even the medical experts or the psychological experts that say, well, not all women can have a vaginal orgasm?
They're wrong, and they've clearly never had one, and you shouldn't listen to them because they don't know what they're talking about. If a so-called expert tells you that not all women can have orgasms, it's because they haven't had one and they don't know how to get there. So fortunately for me, the way that I have created my own program of self-education over the years, I often say that if I had gone to a typical, let's say, sex therapist school, I would be broke and unsuccessful because they do not have the answers in Western science about sexuality. And so most people are operating from their own blind spots and the very flawed information that's out there within Western science. Like, let me give you an example. So the way that Western science would structure, would make a statement to say, oh, not all women or most women don't have G-spots, or some women do and some women don't. They would put a bunch of women in a lab and try to give them the same physical techniques. And like, if they don't all have orgasms immediately, there's no such thing as a G-spot orgasm. So what they're missing, if everyone could just use physical technique to do this, everyone would be having them. Like, that's correct. But it's not just physical technique. They are completely discounting that there are all these other factors involved, like how connected you are to your partner, how connected you are to yourself. I gave the example earlier about, like, let's say sexual trauma. If someone has had a significant trauma in their past regarding their intimate relationship, their body, their sexuality, until they clear that and heal that, that is going to show up as a blockage. So the blockage could then show up as some kind of ailment, like low libido, lack of lubrication, inability to orgasm, or worse, a progression of that would be some kind of growth on an organ, right? Or an organ malfunctioning, and then Western science would say you have to cut it out. Mm-hmm. So I've prevented all of these kinds of things and reversed all of these kinds of things through my work because we get to the root cause, meaning we find out the deeper emotional and psychological reasons why someone is feeling blocked and not able to freely access this energy. We clear that and boom, you know, everything starts working again. Like, I've reversed all kinds of things. You know, we have wonderful stories of women in their 70s who are way into menopause and they're gushing and lubricating and orgasming like nobody's business. You know, people I just did a podcast this week about, I call it well-fucked weight loss, which is when you're really harnessing your sexual energy, it's like this internal combustion engine that burns through your heaviness and your stagnation and all the extra weight that you're carrying with you and releases it. It's not about calories in, calories out. It's about orgasms in, orgasms out.
Nice. I like that. What are some of the issues that you find that are most prominent with men?
With men?
Yeah. Because like my clients, I'll have people talk to me about, so there's the ultimate dilemma that men go through. So not every man, but a lot of men go through as far as size. Does size really matter? Do they need to be insecure, worried about the size of their penis? Premature ejaculation issues, intimacy issues, being able to communicate with their partner or their lover from a male perspective. And these are some of the things that I hear about in my own coaching.
Well, they're all valid issues. I would say one of the most important things for men to work on is their stamina. So most men, the stats are pretty dismal, that 75% of men ejaculate within 3 minutes of intercourse. So that kind of performance isn't going to bring a woman to the deeper vaginal orgasms. She's not going to feel sexually satisfied, and she'll probably start to avoid sex. So when men start to complain, oh, she doesn't want to have sex, well, how long are you having sex with her for? Yeah. Because if it's in that range, she's very right to avoid having sex with you because it won't even be remotely pleasurable for her. So one of the most important skills for men is building stamina. And so I have a lot of free videos out there on my YouTube channel. I have a whole playlist for men, and it talks about how to really use the breath and use other techniques to be able to go the distance. And men can go from having 3 minute encounters to 15 minute, hour long, and several hour long encounters using these techniques. And then you open up the sexual potential of your partner. So she's much more willing to let go and relax and surrender to you. And then she's able to get to all of these much more rewarding places like G-spot orgasms and cervical orgasms, which are what I call the life-changing orgasms for women, where they're so emotionally, spiritually, psychologically cleansing that she's literally reborn. We're talking about that concept of le petit mort, the French term for the little death and rebirth, what they call orgasm. And to me, that is the true purpose of orgasm, to rebirth us as people.
And men too can have multiple orgasms, correct?
They can. I mean, men can have orgasm in a row, like many in a row. And then what I often want to teach men is how to learn to separate orgasm from ejaculation. There's a lot of schools, like in ancient tantric and Taoist schools, they think that excessive ejaculation is depleting for men. And so I teach techniques to really harvest that sexual energy to get to the point where a man could have an orgasm without ejaculation.
Yeah, that's actually pretty amazing. There's so many things out there that men don't know also about sex. How did you get involved in this? You have an incredible depth of knowledge on it, but how did you get involved in this area of study?
Well, from a young age, I had some very powerful sexual experiences where I actually had that sense of being reborn, and I had some powerful vaginal orgasms as well early on in my sexual history. And so that really inspired me to think, okay, so the version, the definition that I'm seeing out there of sex as this taboo, shameful, whatever thing, wasn't my personal experience. My view is that it was this transcendent spiritual portal to other dimensions of consciousness, like just the way you could take, say, a drug and open yourself up to different states of awareness. That's what I was receiving through my sexual encounters. And then I later discovered Tantra and Taoism, which are these ancient Indian and Chinese practices 5,000 years ago, where they studied sex as a pathway to health and rejuvenation and even enlightenment. So those schools much more resonated with my experiences personally. And then overall, I just have this deep fascination with how do we change and how do we grow? How do we self-actualize and become the best versions of ourselves? And so I've studied everything from psychology to philosophy, meditation, you know, diet, exercise, all kinds of forms of alternative healing. And for me, sex has always been in that whole category of personal growth tools. Like I actually use sex as a way to make myself a better person.
And you say that by practicing these principles and practicing these tools and enriching yourself and your sex life, that will then ultimately have an effect on your business and the amount of money that you make and the success that you have in the world. How does that work?
Absolutely. So I look at sexual energy as being life force energy. This is the energy that creates new life. And so if we're not making babies with it, then we can use that energy and channel it into our day-to-day lives. And so a lot of what I teach are practices for you to consciously get in touch with that energy, tune into it, recirculate it in your body, and let it, like I say, harvest it so that you're infusing it into everything that you do. And when you do that, it's like you're taking this creative raw material and then you get to shape your life with it. So it's like a turbo boost for your entire life. And so this then starts to manifest in everything from people's relationship to their children, their families, their career, their bodies, their finances. All of these things start to get up leveled as they're taking this powerful, I mean, look, what's the most powerful energy that's on the planet? We might say love. And we also then might say the energy that creates new life, right? This pro-creative energy. And so they're now taking that energy and consciously directing it into all parts of their lives. And that's why I call it the great turbo booster and even a secret weapon, you know, that you can use for your success. Because a lot of people, most people do not use it. They're very unconsciously leaking out their sexual energy rather than using it as a power source.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the energy that keeps all life moving forward. I mean, that urge to procreate is embedded within the DNA of all of life. So it's extraordinarily powerful. You were telling me that you have courses coming up for both men and women. Can you talk about those a little bit and where we could get information on it?
Sure. Right now, actually, we have a course called How to Be a Well-Fucked Woman, and that's available on my website, or I can send you links for that. And then after that, I have a course, Sexual Mastery for Men. So this is all of the sexual education that we ought to have received, but never did. So I go into everything from how to have a better relationship, improving communication skills, all the way through orgasm techniques and sexual improvement techniques so that you have the full gamut of physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual tools to enhance your intimate life.
That's fantastic. I wanted to ask you, what would be a sign that a person was not living the full potential of their sexual fulfillment in life? What would be some of the questions running around in a person's mind?
In their mind or the questions I would ask?
No, in their mind. Like, how would they know? Because I know one of the things is that sometimes it takes a while. Like, if I'm working with a client, it might take a while before this actually comes to the surface, that they're unsatisfied sexually in their relationship. But it's not like they don't know that that's not happening. There's shame around it. There's embarrassment, not wanting to talk about it. But what are some of the things that they're thinking on a regular basis about their sex life? Because I find that very often they talk themselves into justifying why it's not good or making it, you know, it's okay just to have a satisfactory one or almost non-existent in some cases, like you were referring to earlier.
I did a call once in one of my salons, and I do these weekly Q&A calls, and a man called in, and he was telling me this list of things that was going on in his relationship, and in the list, like, with this happens, and we haven't had sex in 8 years, and then blah, blah, blah. And he just listed it as though it was, like, part of this other list of things that was going on. And I'm like, hold up, wait a second. You haven't had sex in 8 years? And he's like, yeah. And then, but it still wasn't taking it as this serious thing. So yes, I agree with you. People rationalize away how normalize things that, you know, to me are not normal. Like to me, that sexual connection is the lifeblood. It's the heart. It's the main core of an intimate relationship. And if that isn't going well, it's going to have negative consequences all over the place. So to me, the ideal is a couple is having very connected, very open, multi-orgasmic and frequent sex. Like I would say several times a week would be a minimum to really maintain a strong bond and connection with the couple. The woman can have all manner of orgasms like G-spot orgasms, cervical orgasms, ejaculatory orgasms. The woman can lubricate freely. She's not using artificial lubricant because her body and her mind and her emotions are ready and open for sex. She doesn't need to use something on top of that to make that happen. A man has control of his sexuality. He can go for, as I said, half an hour, 6 hours if he really wants to. He has control over his orgasm and he's able to. One of the barometric questions I ask people is, after you have sex, do you feel energized, rejuvenated, life changed, and like transformed into a better human being and full of ecstasy? And if the answer is no, I'd say you're not doing it right. And that's not a judgment. It's just to say that sex is meant to get you high. Sex is meant to make you feel euphoric and energized, not as a sleep tool to help you to pass out. So all of the things that I'm putting out there, we live in this culture these days that's very easy to be, oh, you're shaming people for not being able to. No. I'm giving you the power to know that this is possible for every single person. Yeah. And anyone who tells you otherwise, as I said, they're just honestly ignorant. They do not know what they do not know. And like I said, I've seen over and over and over again, sometimes I tell a woman that I guarantee that every woman can have G-spot orgasms, and she'll go home that very night and have her first G-spot orgasm she's never been able to have in 20 years, just because I promised her that she can have it, that it's possible for her, you know. Or a man who's had premature ejaculation issues for decades, and within a week of practicing these breathing techniques I teach, he's suddenly up to an hour, you know, in his encounters. So these things can happen very quickly, but people buy into a lot of these stories and excuses, and you don't know what you don't know. Like I said, because the sexual education out there is so dismal, which is essentially don't have sex because it will kill you and get you pregnant. Okay, but maybe have sex, but don't. Like that's pretty much summary of what people get. No wonder people don't know. No wonder people are confused. And so a huge part of my work is educating people about what's possible. You know, the technique is actually not that hard in some ways. Some of it's harder than others, but it's mostly just to help clear your mind to know, like clear out everything you've been told, reprogram you, like clear out, like do some brain cleaning, not brainwashing. We're going to do some brain cleansing and I guess brainwashing in a good way, brain cleansing, to show you what's really possible and then show you how to get there, you know. But we do have to remove these old stuck beliefs that people have, or like I said, they just don't even know what they don't know.
Yeah. I've had people, I've had conversations with people and basically have told them some of the things that you're saying, and they'll go back and talk to their doctor or something and then report back and say, well, my doctor said that not all women can have a vaginal orgasm or a cervical orgasm. And I said, you know, it's really interesting that people will use the data to verify their own experience. And why don't you give yourself an opportunity to be a person that says that they can? Now, I haven't necessarily had the results of that you have. But I think that what, you know, what you're doing, and I mean, even in a way, it's kind of like you're giving them permission where other people have said that it's not okay to do this. I think there's a lot of stigma around a person actually really enjoying their sex life and saying, I have a very healthy, robust, enjoyable sex life with my partner. I've run into people, well, for definitely men on one hand, who never had any education whatsoever outside of the boys club kind of locker room talk around sex, but women who were never even instructed on how their menstrual cycle worked when they were going through puberty. It's atrocious that we live in this day and age and there's still so much stigma and ignorance around sexuality.
Well, it is, absolutely. And that's what I said. Like, if someone could say to you, oh, not all women can have these orgasms, it's so clear that they just don't know. They've never had them. They don't know how it works. Because if they understood the process, they would know it's available for everyone. And they just haven't got a clue, you know, how to do it. So it is true. Like, there's still this massive, I mean, look, I often say, like, it's before the time before 50 Shades of Grey and the time after 50 Shades of Grey. Like, back before that, it was even harder to talk about these things. Like, mainstream outlets were even more resistant to them. And then that book came along, and whatever you think about it, like, that's not the issue here. It's just that it opened up, it made people realize that people wanted to know. Inquiring minds wanted to know. Women wanted to know. Women were, you know, like that cop, what book sold like 200, 300 million copies, like women riding around in the subways, getting wet, reading this book, like women really
were interested. Fastest selling book in history.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
So, okay. So then after that, I think these places started to tweak into, like, all right, so there's a financial market for it, clearly. And I think that I just saw everything open up in a whole other way. So I think things are definitely opening up, but there's still all kinds of censorship around sex and taboo around sex, but it is shifting. But it's, I guess that's why I do so much work about trying to explain why it's important. Like, here's why to have sex. Here's why to have lots of sex. Here's why to give blowjobs, why it's good for the woman to give blowjobs. Here's why it's good for a man to have sex with your partner for as long as you can. Because if a man does that, like I often say, that it's not behind every good woman. No, what is it? Behind every good man is a woman. It's actually behind every good woman is a man on his knees, ferociously thrusting and giving her everything he's got. Because if he fucks that woman into oblivion and really opens her up, she's going to be the best partner, most supportive, easygoing, loving, affectionate woman he's ever seen in his life, if he puts in that kind of time and energy. And, you know, same thing, if the woman really loves up the man and she gives him all kinds of sexual affection from the heart and the genitals, right? Not because out of some kind of obligation or duty, but it's genuinely coming from the depths of her, then he becomes the much more strong, protective, energized, you know, powerful, masculine figure that she's really craving. So we bring the best out of each other when we do these things. But like I said, it all comes back to why. Right? Like, why should we do this? And then how do we do it? And then we can really maximize our, not just our relationship potential or our sexual potential, but our human potential.
I love that. That's great. If you could, let's wrap this up with this. If you could leave the listeners with one successful mind tip around their sexuality, what would that be?
To view your sexual energy as a power source. And I often use the analogy that I don't do coffee, I do orgasms. Meaning when I'm working during the day, a huge part of my work is writing and content creation. And if I start to hit a lull, a plateau, I will go to the bedroom and I will start self-pleasuring or grab my partner and like partner pleasuring. And I will do use these practices I talk about to breathe energy and harvest my sexual energy. And then I go back to my work and I'm totally in sync with the muse. I'm energized, I'm inspired, I have creative ideas flowing. When you get your sexual juices flowing, your creative juices flow. So think of your sexual energy as a power source. And then, like I said, I've got tons of information out there for how to really tap into this and cultivate it. But that's a secret weapon / power source / turbo booster that you have literally at your fingertips that you can use to amplify and quantum leap your entire life.
That's awesome. Tell everybody one more time where we can find out more about you and your classes.
So I'm at kiminami.com and I have what I call sexual savant salons, which are all of my online sex and relationship education courses. You can find those on my website. I also have lots of great videos on my YouTube channel, and my podcast is called Orgasmic Enlightenment, and lots of amazing free content there as well.
Great. Everybody, I thoroughly encourage you to go check out Kim's work. I have experienced it firsthand. Men, I can tell you that everything that she's telling you that you can do, you can do. I've done it. Some of it I could do. Some of it I learned from Kim. So thank you, Kim. I appreciate that. You've enhanced my sex life. And for you women out there, I have many clients that have taken her her salons, as she calls them, and reported back with the exact same results that she is talking about here. Absolutely no joke, no hype. It is the real deal. That's why I wanted to have Kim on the podcast. And let us know how you did with it. If you do it and you feel comfortable saying so, then please let us know, and it will help other people embrace Kim's work, because I am a huge fan, and I think that her work is very much needed in the world right now. So Kim, thank you so much again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, Kim and Ami, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.